Hello and welcome to Baseball America's Draft Podcast. I'm Carlos Galazzo, joined by Peter Flaherty, who is down in Florida taking in Jupiter, Perfect Games WWBA World Championship, or at least attempting to take in the event. Peter, I know day one was a bit of a rainout in some regards. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a road game for me this week in terms of the podcast. As you said, I'm down in the Sunshine State, though it's lacking sunshine at the moment. But yeah, yesterday was quite the day at the yard. Started off kind of sunny and humid. Got a couple of good looks at some high level arms. Couple of good position guys that I tried to hone in on. And then, you know, in typical Florida fashion, the weather just flipped on a dime. You know, we saw a really vivid lightning strike that was the equivalent of like a brushback pitch, and everyone was like, whoa. So we sought shelter. We were in said shelter, but then said shelter didn't really act as a shelter because, you know, the way everything is laid out, it was, you know, I'm from Massachusetts, so I'm pretty soft when it comes to rain, but I had never seen any rain like this before. It was tropical in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
It started to like flood our shelter. So it kind of created a mess, but in a weird way, it was kind of fun. It's certainly something that I won't soon forget. Got back to where I'm staying and quickly got in some extra warm clothes. But today I'm more optimistic.
Yeah, it does feel like Jupiter is always a bit of a dice roll in terms of like what weather you're actually going to get. I feel like you've been particularly unfortunate the last 2 years. A year ago, we were supposed to all go down to Jupiter together, and then a hurricane came through, delayed the entire event for a week. You still saw kind of the remnants of the event afterwards, but myself and Ben didn't get down there. Now you and Jacob Rudner for the BA crew are representing in Jupiter and getting some intense rain to start it off. So if you guys don't know about this event, it is a huge tournament, a ton of games, a ton of time slots. So like the logistics of figuring it out after you get a half a day washed away is certainly a challenge. So fingers crossed that moving forward, you guys can get better weather and get through the schedule. But Peter, I kind of want to talk about this event as a whole. And since we're recording a little bit later than we typically do, you've actually seen a little bit of the event, so we can get into some of the standout players. But when you go to Jupiter, what are you kind of looking to see? Is it hunting down specific players? Is it getting a feel for the class as a whole with more depth than you typically get at most of the summer events? I would say, from my perspective, when I went to this event in the past, I think I've gone like 7 or 8 times at this point. I was always really excited just to get extra looks at hitters in particular, because this is a really good event for hitters because of the tournament setup. And then also just get a picture of the depth of the class, and you see a lot more of the underclass players as well. So it's kind of that for me was the pecking order. It's like specific hitters that I was curious to see more game ABs from, the depth of the current year's class. You get to see that a little bit more just because of the volume of players and teams there. And then like hunting down a few of the standout underclass players to get either first or second looks on. So that was kind of my priority order. How do you go about it?
Yeah, pretty much the same way. So, I mean, for anyone who's unfamiliar with the event or who hasn't come, it's a little bit like drinking out of a fire hose. Like yesterday was that in a literal sense with the rain. But as Carlos mentioned, it's at the Marlins and Cardinals shared complex in Jupiter. So there are, I want to say, 8 fields in use at one time at least. And so, I mean, there are games that roll from 8 a.m. to 7:40 at night in terms of first pitch times. You won't get out of there until 9:40, 10 o'clock some days. But I think going into it with a plan, or at least a tentative plan, is key, with kind of a pref list built out. So that's what I did. Kind of went through and labeled a number of high priority guys in this year's class. And then, as you said, trying to build out my, you know, looks and Rolodex, or like starting to get a feel for some of the premium underclass guys. Like there were a couple of high level hitters I saw yesterday who were 27s, a couple of high level underclass pitchers. And then for the current year's class, you know, a lot of the creme de la creme type of guys will shut it down and not be at the event. And it's like you said, it's more geared towards the hitters than it is the pitchers, because a lot of the pitchers will also be shut down towards the top of the current year's class. So like there aren't like the like primo 26 pitchers aren't down here, but there are still a number of quality arms. But especially the hitters, like it's a good event to get a number of looks at them. So I think coming down here with a plan and like sort of a roadmap, as best you can put together is key. Cause you know, you can kind of maneuver from field to field and complex to complex. So it's like, you know, you get a pitcher's outing, then you bolt, you get, and then, you know, there are, you know, 3, 4, or 5 hitters competing like in the Marlins block or the Cardinals block. You know, you can kind of have the like Gamecast app open on your phone,
mm-hmm.
see who's hitting, get, you know, hitter A's at bat, bounce over to Marlins 3, get hitter mm-hmm. B and C. You know, if they're high priority guys, sometimes they're hitting back to back in the order. If they're on the same team, Marlins 6, get hitter D, and you just kind of do that mm-hmm. cycle. The next round of games begin, and you kind of rinse and repeat that, and you blink and it's like 9 o'clock. So it's a lot of fun. I mean, I know for anyone listening to that, and then for me to conclude that with, it's actually like, it might sound kind of nuts, but
yeah,
I mean, for me it is, because I like you and so many of our listeners and people who are at the event, it is a lot, like we're obsessed. Like this is so much fun seeing all of these great players consolidated in one environment. And I also think it's a great opportunity to just kind of be a sponge. This is my first like true Jupiter experience, because mm-hmm. last year there were no college coaches. So it's great to touch base with coaches that I've formed a relationship with since joining mm-hmm. PA, pick their brains a little bit, talk to scouts that I have a relationship with, pick their brains as well, and get some feedback.
Yeah, I feel like that element of Jupiter was always one of the most beneficial. Just the, I always talked about it as sort of a scouting convention as much as anything on the field, and on the, like just watching the players is valuable. The just volume of people in the industry who are at this event, and you're going to be like forced into conversations with, even if you don't know people, like you're all huddled together trying to get space around golf carts behind different fields. Like you just run into so many people, you run into people that you haven't seen in a long time. You make connections with new people. So it just does feel like if you went to Jupiter and for some reason you couldn't bear down on anything at all on the field, it would still be valuable to go to just to talk with scouts, talk with college coaches. And I was curious, I was going to ask like what the crowd was like this year. And I forgot that you didn't really have a baseline from a year ago, because it was moved back a week, and that, I guess that pushed college coaches into their dark period.
Yeah. So,
and then now we have, it's obviously not impacting it for this year, but we now have the MLB dark period that starts October 15th. So this is kind of like the last big event on the calendar for both coaches and scouts. I imagine the crowd is pretty good, but what are your thoughts on how the crowd is this year?
Like you said, I don't really have a proper bar that was set, because last year the postponement because of the hurricane pushed it into the dead period, so there were no college coaches. So this year it's pretty hot. I mean, it's crawling with high level college coaches, and then the scouting community is there in a similar capacity as it was last year. And as you mentioned, with the October 15th kind of dark period approaching, it's probably even a little bit more so crowded, just to get one last pre-spring look at a lot of these guys, and really one last look against high level competition for a handful of these guys as well. So it's been great to see a lot of scouts with whom I'm familiar, and I referenced it earlier, but I just love, you know, being a sponge and trying to, you know, learn as much as I can and see what they have to say, and, you know, sharing our thoughts about players and, you know, scouting processes. I think it's so productive. So you hit the nail on the head. Even if you were to come down here, disregard everything on the field and have it just be, you know, a kind of a talking to scouts or type of event, it would be worth it in and of itself. So it really is a well put together event, and, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, very cool. And then obviously it's just basically half of day one that you've seen to this point, but it does feel like just based on chatter in the Slack and what you and Jacob have been tweeting out, you've got a few good looks. So I'm sure we'll have time to talk more about like standout players from the event at large, and I'm sure there are going to be some pieces that you work up for the site. We've already got some video from the event that's out on various BA channels, which is great to see. But who are the standouts for you so far? And then I guess after that, maybe we can get into some of the players that you're most excited to see or looking forward to see.
Sure. So yesterday was abbreviated, but I began my day with a. I really enjoyed my look at Canadian left-hander Sean Duncan. He's a Vanderbilt commit. He's on the Brewers Langley Blaze team. He threw against the Chicago Cubs scout team. Three solid innings, two earned on three hits. Struck out seven and walked one. Command kind of became more scattered, and he labored a little bit into the third inning. It was really oppressive and humid yesterday. So it was kind of apparent he was laboring a little bit in his last inning of work. But lean, high-waisted frame, ton of projection, upside remaining, pretty loose delivery. Fastball was up to 94 and lived in the low 90s with life through the zone. High spin pitch, it played really well in the top half of the zone. Got seven whiffs on the fastball alone yesterday. But I thought the moneymaker with him was the low 80 slider. There was a feel for it and a feel to spin. He was able to manipulate its shape, flash a lot of sharp sweep at times, and others it took on more of a two plane look, with some depth and a similar degree of teeth. It zeroed out in my, it, I mean, it flashed plus yesterday. There were a couple that, you could slap a six on, I thought. But it has like no doubt true plus potential going forward, just given the upside with Duncan. And it's a really tough look on lefties. It got five whiffs, flipped in a couple of curveballs, and tried to turn over a changeup or two. It was kind of a show pitch yesterday. Changeup wasn't really there. And then the curveball could be a fine and serviceable third offering. So I mean, with me, like, there's a ton to like now. Like, the front side with him will sometimes fly open, and it'll lead to misses up and away, and it'll pull off the baseball a little bit. And I mentioned he labored, but there's plenty to be a fan of now, and even more to dream on. So I mean, I like the entire arsenal with him, both with velo and just the sharpness of it, I guess you could call it, in general. I mean, I think it'll continue to tick up as he continues to mature physically. Like, starter look, I left the yard with him tentatively, at least right now, after that look, in the third to fifth round range for me. This July, we'll see if that changes and
We've got
one
him
way or
slated
another.
right now. We've got him slated 66 on our board overall, so that puts him like right in the second. And I was gonna say, like, I don't remember in recent years at least having a Canadian start out as highly ranked on our draft board as where we currently have Duncan slotted. You'd have to go back a few years, I feel like, unless I'm completely blanking on someone. Feels like the last few seasons it's been a handful of Canadians who sort of jump up during the spring, whether that's Nathan Flewelling, guys like that who kind of come out in the spring and show off, maybe do some stuff at the combine. But he does feel like one of the more prominent Canadian prospects we've had at this stage in the calendar. So I'm glad you got a good look for him.
I really liked him. I was excited to see him coming into the event. He was one of the more higher priority pitchers. Obviously, just given where we have him ranked, and then in terms of who was showing up and throwing in general, he's kind of one of the big dogs there. So I was happy it was a good look. It was very productive.
Getting the right people in the door quick is critical to maintain your company's workflow. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed Sponsored Jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, Sponsored Jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast because it puts the best and most qualified candidates in front of you quickly. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BaseballAmerica. Just go to Indeed.com/BaseballAmerica right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BaseballAmerica. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The one I have to ask you about, and I'm sure he was going to be mentioned, but I don't know if you got a complete Striker Pence look, if he finished his outing before the weather came, but both you and Jacob talking about just seeing Striker Pence, what was that experience like? Because I mean, I've seen him once at the area code games, and I can't imagine it's an outing that will fade from my memory. It was so loud and crazy and just weird to see a player as young as him. I think for me, he threw 6 straight 100 mile per hour fastballs. So what was your Striker Pence experience like?
So for anyone, like, Striker Pence is currently in the class of 2028, true sophomore, 16-year-old. So usually the event is the primary player pool for this event are 26s and 27s, current high school seniors and current high school juniors. So for a 28 to be playing in the event in and of itself is, you know, a rather impressive feat. But yesterday he beat the buzzer when it came to the rain. So we got a full outing, which was awesome.
Nice. How many innings did he throw?
Just 2. I mean, I went into it just knowing kind of what it looks like and who he is as an arm. I was expecting
I knew who he was. I don't know how much video I had seen. So for me, the look was relatively fresh, even though like you're aware of the name. And I do wonder, like, sometimes you get a sense of like which players in the draft are like very famous outside of typical draft circles. I mean, Striker Pence is clearly on that track, just given his size, given his velocity, given the fact that he's the nephew of Hunter Pence. So I really wonder, like, in a few years, if he's going to take on like Blaze Jordan sort of fame, Max Clark sort of fame. Like, how big is the circle of notoriety going to be for Striker Pence as he continues to progress through his high school career? Because, again, like, he's got to be one of the more prominent, like, underclass. And like you said, it's not just 1 year removed. He's 2 years removed at this point.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of fame, you know, he's already kind of there, and it's not going to get any less buzzy, just in terms of the clout with him. But, you know, with you, as you said, there was some video, but there wasn't a whole lot of, like, you know, the area code games was somewhat of a coming out party for him, just because he had 100 a number of times. And then, so coming into this event, obviously you kind of know what he's about, but I can't imagine that it won't be the loudest outing of the tournament. Just looking back on it, it's kind of impossible to say it won't be, I think.
If you see someone else like showing better stuff than that, like, I guess that'll be a huge coming out party for whoever that pitcher is. But yeah, how hard was he throwing and what was the look like?
Oh gosh. So, I mean, threw 2 shutout innings against a really good Brewer scout team. Fastball sat 96 to 99. He was up to 100 and hit 104, which is a new in-game PR for him and a new Jupiter in-game record.
He hit 104 miles per hour.
Oh my gosh, sorry. 101. I mean, there's a chance he ends up bumping 104.
Okay, 101. To be clear, 101. All right, 104. I was about to fall out of my chair.
No. You would have heard about it a lot earlier if you'd have.
Yeah.
No, but he hit 101 4 times, which is a new in-game record.
The record was 101 or getting 101 4 times? Because I'm trying to think, maybe like Travis Sikora or Miguel Cime, like those are the two that maybe I could have seen hit that, but I don't know if they did or not.
I saw a graphic, so I'm going off the graphic that was put out by Perfect Game, and it said that Strikers 101 is a new Jupiter record. So
that makes sense. Yep.
I'll take them at their word. And that's a new in-game PR as well for Striker. I mean, it's not just a one-trick pony with its velo too. I didn't know quite how to word this, you know, in the report I put up on Twitter, or articulated, but like, it's not just like a velo special. And kind of when you dig in a little deeper, it's like, like it's a lively 100 and 101. Like there's a ton of carry on it. It's a really high spin pitch. I think yesterday it was, you know, he spun it in the 2600 or so range on average, I want to say.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a ton of carry through the zone. Just, I mean, it explodes out of the hand. It's an easy 70 right now. And then he's not just like this kid who gets up. I mean, there's a lot of refining to be done, and he's still pretty raw, don't get me wrong. But he doesn't get up there, you know, throw 95% heaters and call it a day. I mean, he pairs it with this hellacious mid to upper 80s power slider. It's got a ton of sharp lateral life. It's an incredibly tough look on righties. He also backdoored it for a called third strike against the lefty. No doubt plus right now, not all that difficult to envision a future, perhaps not so distant future, 70 on it. And then it feels like one of those infomercial ads where it's like, but wait, there's more. he ties everything together with a really good high 80s split change. Does an excellent job of killing spin on it. I don't know what it was in your look.
I was going to ask you about this because when I saw him, it was one inning, three batters, 17 pitches. He only threw one split change, and it was 88 miles per hour to a left-handed hitter. So I literally just saw one. But I'm curious how often he threw that pitch for you. It sounds like you got a few more looks at it than I did.
Yeah, I wish I had my my notes in front of me because I'd be able to reference it. I think he threw two in his second inning of work just to like honestly be like, hey, look what I have as well.
Yeah, show the full bag.
Yeah, both were to a lefty, obviously. And I think he spun it in like the 1200 range. So like it acts more as a splitter than a changeup. And he might even signal changeup or splitter rather when he's warming up, but kill spin really effectively on it. Turnover one, really good one. That had some late dive to it. And I think down the road, again, perhaps in the not so distant future, could be a really effective third pitch that grades out as at least a 55. If like, I think that's on the conservative side trying to project on this thing.
You know what? What stood out to me when seeing Striker, once you get past like how insane it is for a 16-year-old to be throwing as hard as he is, like, and you mentioned it wasn't just someone who's going up there and just throwing 95% fastballs trying to blaze everyone down. I thought there was a bit more touch and feel and control with him than I would have expected. Again, for his size, for his age, for how hard he throws. Like, typically, this sort of pitcher profile, it's really erratic. I mean, again, for me, it was just one inning, but he was around the zone. He established his zone with his fastball. He had good feel for the slider. How was the control and command for you?
It sounds like in the control and command department, you got him a little more sharp than I did.
And again, just one inning, you got two. So yeah, I feel like that's so a little more
right. So he was a little bit of a spray gun yesterday.
Okay.
Scattered it a little bit. I think he's still raw in that regard. But I mean, it's primo stuff across the board. Yep. I found myself reminding myself constantly, like he's a 16-year-old sophomore in high school.
Hey, right. Like if it sounds like we're nitpicking at all, just let's remind ourselves 16-year-old right-handed pitcher regularly throwing 100 miles per hour with multiple potential plus secondaries.
Right. Like he can just now get his driver's license. And I mean, there's some low hanging fruit to clean up in the delivery. But again, like I think the biggest key going forward is just going to be competing in and around the zone consistently. I mean, if he's able to do that, you know, good luck. I think that's really all that can be said. And I mean, the body is really good. It's this extra long 6'6", 200 pound frame. Like, it's budding strength and physicality. Like, he's going to get stronger. There's already some particular physicality in the lower half. I thought it looked strong yesterday. And it's just tremendous arm speed. So we could go on and on about Stryker, but that was,
I was going to ask, did the, one of the fun things about this event too, is oftentimes the pitchers will be in the lineup. I mean, it's fairly typical for high school players to play both sides. And when you're looking at the best high school pitchers in the country, oftentimes those guys are also some of the more talented hitters for their high school teams or even their travel teams. If you're not talking about like a totally loaded travel team, was Stryker in the lineup as a hitter at all, or was he just pitching today?
No, he was just pitching. He was the he started for Hunter Pence Baseball Academy, which is a quick little side note, had awesome jerseys.
Nice.
They were in the mold of,
you'll get a range of jersey quality at Jupiter, so that's,
yeah,
cool.
Some are a little more like loud,
they're very loud, yeah,
and eye washed than others, but these worked. They were in the mold of the like throwback Hakeem Olajuwon era Rockets jerseys, so it had like that Houston font across the chest, red with black pins. It was a really clean look. So I mean, that was all that was kind of the cherry on top of a really fun look. So going into it, like Jacob and I, and I probably everyone at the event had that one circled.
What was the scout crowd like for Stryker? Because it's weird, because like for most people, you imagine you don't really need to worry about him yet because he's so far away. But I imagine just the allure of seeing that is going to draw people.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Like being a 28, like you really, you know, he's down the ways a little bit. Obviously as far as the draft goes, but you know, and this was partially my mindset as well, but like you got to see it. So, I mean, it was still littered with scouts and, you know, it was the kind of the talk of the Marlins pod, for the early afternoon games. And I give him even more credit because he squeezed in his entire outing before the day got washed. So
beautiful.
We got a full look at him.
Nice. Well, that was the Stryker Pence experience. Glad you got to see it, Peter. Thank you for breaking it down for the pod. I guess before we get out of here, are there any players in particular that you're really excited to see, or what are you looking ahead at for the next few days down in Jupiter?
Yeah. So, I mean, I got Duncan yesterday, which was Sean Duncan yesterday, which was great, because that was kind of one of the higher priority arms. You got Stryker. So you kind of bang those two guys out. So the next couple of days and few days, I'm going to bear down on position guys. The Evo Shield Canes national team has a number per usual of really high quality guys. I think the players I'm most looking forward to, Blake Bowen, outfielder, catcher Andrew Costello, Bo Peterson, Christian Doty, 2027, a high priority 2027 for me, Dylan Seward, seeing what he's all about.
With Blake Bowen specifically, I'll be surprised if it's anything but a bunch of barrels, because I think he's been seen by like half of our staff at this point throughout just the various summer events we've been to. I know Jacob got out and saw him at an event in California. And this guy is just on the barrel so frequently that if he's not for you, it would be surprising. One of the more prominent up arrow names from just the insane performance and the power that he brings to the table. So that's definitely the hitter I'm most excited for you to see.
Yeah, I mean, all I've, for reference and a little peek behind the BA curtain, all I've heard the last, you know, couple of months is how awesome Blake Bowen has been at the events that Carlos has been at, Jacob's been at. So I'm curious to see if he can continue swinging the stick well down here in Jupiter. So the Canes crop will be fun. The USA Prime National always brings down a really good team. So there are a number of position guys in there as well. Connor Como, Trevor Condon.
Oh, you're going to love Trevor Condon too.
Yeah.
He has the exact sort of Northeast grinder play style that I know that you're going to love. He's a blast to watch.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him. Aiden Ruiz with Wow Factor. Yep. another nice. Like
that's a good, I mean, just listening to the names you're listing off, like I feel like there are years at Jupiter where you don't get this volume of top end hitters. Like it's a pretty good crowd.
It's a good group. And I mean, there are more too, like Brady Harris. I'll get tonight, Friday night, or Friday evening at 5:20, just a tool shed through and through. I'm really looking forward to seeing him live. And then in the breath of, you know, Primo 2027, caught Chase Fuller yesterday, got one AB of his, laced a single back up the middle. I think the EV on it was 105, just a really good looking, strong physical kid, with exciting and loud tools across the board. So I mean, even just hearing myself talk about it, like it's a very fun group of position guys. Obviously there are fun arms as well that I'm looking forward to catching, but as we said at the top of the show, it's position player almost centric / heavy.
Yeah.
So numbers wise, there will simply be more of them than arms, but I'm also looking forward to seeing any arm that might pop or position mm-hmm. guy that might pop, as everyone kind of seems to do down here annually.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it for us today. We'll let Peter get out of here and get back to the field as we're recording on this Friday morning before things can really get going for him. So, Peter, thank you for the breakdown of Jupiter. Again, fingers crossed for you. Hope things stay as dry as they possibly can over the next few days, and we'll look forward to hearing who's standing out for you.
Likewise. I'm an optimist at heart, so I'm optimistic about the weather, and I'm excited to get a few full days in because it'll be a blast.
Cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. Thanks for hanging out. As always, you can support VA and kind of allow us to continue to travel around the country and break down players like this and bring you video and all sorts of insight into them by subscribing to Baseball America. So thank you to those of you who do. There's still plenty of content coming out on the site. I think both the college guys, Peter and Jacob, have done a lot of really exciting stuff this fall that you'll get a lot of value of. In addition to everything that's coming from Jupiter. So thanks again for the support. Thanks for hanging out. For Peter, I'm Carlos. So long, everybody.